Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The temperature soared up to 60 in my neighborhood on Wednesday and crazy rains. Now, we went for almost 3 months with just one day of rain. The drought really extensive in my part of the country. So New York, New Jersey area. I know not just those places, but familiar with it there. And then all of a sudden, bam, 3 days of pretty much nonstop rain. And because of the construction project in our backyard recently, we now have a mud lake back there. Oh my gosh, what a mess. And dogs and everything else. There's just mud everywhere. Could start a mudslide from our backyard. So I'll be looking forward to it drying up. And now the temperatures are about to plummet. But for a couple days there, we had temps like North Carolina. Bill Belichick about to be introduced as the next head football coach at the University of North Carolina. And he's got no college coaching experience, but he's already making a splash. This news breaking just a few hours ago. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence at A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page. Oh, check out the GIF. It's brilliant. So you can react there. I'm looking to hear what you think. Will he turn the program around? Will it work at North Carolina? Because it's very different than pro, said Captain Obvious. 855-212-4227. Right now, we're pleased to welcome Brian Murphy, senior investigative reporter from WRAL in Raleigh. Brian, I'll start there. It's been this big story, I'm sure, that's Rock Tobacco Road. What's your reaction to Bill Belichick landing at UNC?
It's wild. I'm not sure there's a better word for it. It started out as, Bill Belichick's. You know, and then as the days passed, it got closer and closer, and you realize that this was real, and sources told us that, yeah, this has a real chance of happening, and they were right, and somehow UNC has landed maybe the greatest coach of the generation.
Why would UNC go after Bill Belichick?
You know, I've been told that he was on their long list, but I'm not sure they ever thought that he was ever going to come. I think, you know, a couple of things. One, North Carolina, particularly some factions of university leadership, I think, see this as a statement that they do care about football, that they're all in on trying to win in football. There's been a perception around here that, sure, football's nice, but, you know, we'll wait till basketball season. I think some people want to change that perception, and if you have the chance to get a coach of the stature of Bill Belichick, I think they were intrigued by that. I'm not sure everyone on campus was completely on board to begin with, but I think there were certain people who really did want to make this kind of a splash hire and prove that they're serious about it. You know, whether it will work or not, I think is up for debate, but they've certainly gotten the eyes of the nation on Chapel Hill and on Tar Heel football.
Exactly. Tar Heel football, which, as you point out, is not generally how it is when people are talking about UNC and the Tar Heels. What do you know about the process of getting to this point?
Some of the names that have come out certainly feel like the athletic director, Bubba Cunningham's type of hires. It's been reported that Tommy Rees or the Georgia defensive coordinator were kind of at the top of the list. If this had not gone the way it did, if they weren't able to come to terms with Belichick. But I know that certain people on campus really wanted him. And my understanding is that the Belichick camp reached out to UNC that he may have been on their long list, but it was the Belichick camp that reached out to UNC and said, no, we're serious about this. We want to look at this. As I said previously, I think it took a little time for everyone on campus to get on board with it, but there's a new chancellor at UNC, and this is his first real big hire, and obviously he swung for the fences on this one.
What kind of reaction, if any, have you been able to get from the athletic department or from the football program?
It obviously happened pretty late when it finally all came together, but we've seen quite a reaction from people within the football program, but also recruits here in North Carolina, whether they're committed to North Carolina or whether future years. I've been surprised at how many have said, this changes my level of interest in UNC, or I definitely want to hear from him. And I think that's what UNC is going for. I mean, look what happened at Colorado, and I'm not trying to equate Belichick and Deion Sanders, but the same sort of splash hire changed the perception of the program. You know, I've heard that mentioned to me more than once. Say, you know, can we get a similar bump to what happened with Colorado and Deion Sanders? Certainly they get a lot more eyeballs now. And to his credit, Deion has turned that program around on the field too. And I think that's kind of what UNC is looking for.
Brian Murphy is with us from Raleigh and WRAL covering this breaking news story in the last few hours. Bill Belichick is, in fact, going to North Carolina. He's going back to school. In your opinion, what's been the biggest impediment to North Carolina fielding a winner in football?
If you hear Mac Brown talk, and of course he's the coach that was fired, all-time winningest coach in UNC history, you know, he'll say that they're not well-equipped to compete in this NIL transfer portal era. When Mac Brown, he coached six seasons. When he was first here, Carolina was signing really, you know, top 25 recruiting classes. As NIL has sort of taken over, that pipeline has dropped. And he said, you know, that they were only spending $4 million on NIL. Of course, with revenue sharing, that number will go up, but we're hearing that North Carolina has made a commitment to Belichick that they will spend in the NIL transfer portal space. And so we'll still have to see how serious that commitment is, but I think that's been one of the bigger impediments. You know, Mac Brown was an awesome recruiter, sort of worked his magic when he first got to UNC the second time, but as money became a bigger and bigger role, UNC sort of fell behind in that area.
We've also heard the report that Michael Lombardi, who's a former NFL front office executive and worked with Belichick going back to his days in New England, earlier days in New England, that he's about to become the school's general manager.
His former employer released that with a quote that said that he is happy to be coming back to Chapel Hill. It says two things to me. One, you know, how many Belichick loyalists are going to come to Chapel Hill? Is there going to be a staff full of people? You can go through some of the names, Josh McDaniels or Matt Patricia. Are we going to see a lot of the old names recycled from the New England days? And two, it tells me that's probably the most important role in college football right now. Like, you've got to be able to identify talent, not only at the high school level, but what in the days would be called pro scouting, but in this case, it's college scouting. You've got to know who's available, who's going to come into the transfer portal, and who you might be able to get that's playing at a different school. And so that's a really important role, and we'll see how Lombardi does in that role. But I think it's a vital position for any program right now.
Brian, obviously Chapel Hill is not devoid of star power. There are a lot of really high-profile, very successful athletes that have come out of UNC, most of them basketball, but still, I mean, there's a lot of people that walk around that campus, and they're known around the globe. And so here comes Bill Belichick. What do you think the reaction to him on campus would be?
We talked to a lot of students today and this week, and I think somewhat mixed. I think there's the sense of like, wow, you know, maybe the greatest coach of at least the NFL generation, six Super Bowls, is coming to Chapel Hill. So I think there's surprise. It's also worry. He's 72 years old. He's never coached in college before. You know, how is this going to work? And then, you know, Belichick is sort of known as a gruff personality, at least with the media and maybe with his players. Now, how is that going to play in a college town? How's it going to play with faculty? How's it going to play with media? How's it going to play with 17 and 18 year old kids as opposed to, you know, 26 and 27 year old grown men?
It's interesting to hear what Belichick himself had to say earlier in the week about how he would turn this into a potential pipeline for those talented players that had designs on playing at the next level. Do you think that's possible for UNC?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's going to be one of the things that is attractive about what Belichick is going to put into place for those caliber of players. Can you get enough of those caliber of players to come to UNC, a team that doesn't have a huge history in football. They've had some very good teams, but largely been a middle of the pack ACC team. What's interesting to me about that is, like, will everyone go along with that? Will everyone on campus go along with that? And will you be able to implement a system that outlives you? How long is Belichick going to be here? And if you invest in this system, this NFL-like system that he wants to put on campus, and 5 years later he's gone, does that system continue, or are you back to trying to find another young up-and-coming coach and going back to sort of a traditional model?
Brown was fired after a 6-6 season. He had a winning record over his time with the school. When you think about where this program has been and the fact that it's been a long time since they've been a contender in the ACC, what would the new expectations be?
Before the hiring happened, Bubba Cunningham, the athletic director, said, you know, 10 wins, 11 wins, get from good to great. There's a lot of programs, I think, out there that say the same thing. But I think, you know, when you look at the ACC, you look at SMU coming into the ACC in its first year making the ACC championship game and making the college football playoff. I think a lot of schools, including Carolina, say, wait a second, why is SMU doing that? You've seen Pittsburgh go to the ACC championship game. You've seen schools like Wake Forest make it. Carolina's made it once or twice, but I think they look at the landscape and say, we should be a consistent contender for the ACC title game. And if you make it to the ACC title game, then you have a chance to make it to the college football playoff.
Right.
I think that sort of opened some eyes that when you look at a team like Arizona State or Colorado or Indiana or SMU, and you say, wait a second, I know North Carolina says, oh, hold on, we invest a lot of resources into our football program. We should at least be able to do what those schools have done.
If not Bill Belichick, what were a few of the other options for UNC at this head coach position?
One of the names that I had heard a lot was Jeff Monken. He's the coach at Army. Since Belichick's been hired, I've seen some reporting nationally that indicates Tommy Reese, who's a former Notre Dame and Alabama offensive coordinator, now working with the Browns, was the likely finalist. Glenn Schumann, he's the defensive coordinator at Alabama. And again, those guys are, particularly Reese and Schumann, are very young coaches with outstanding pedigrees. Schumann worked for Kirby Smart. He worked for Nick Saban. Tommy Reese worked for Nick Saban. Those are the types of hires I think most fans expected from Bubba Cunningham. Those are the type of resumes / experience that I think most fans anticipated. I mean, Tulane's John Summerall was top the list when the firing was made. He, of course, said he was going to stay at Tulane. I think going into it, that's the caliber of coach that most people thought North Carolina was going to land.
Well, Mack Brown is in his 70s when he got fired. Was there any indication there was a disconnect between him and the students and his ability to lead young people?
I don't think that was the problem. I mean, there were some embarrassing showings on the field.
Right.
They gave up 70 points to James Madison at home. After that game, Mack Brown went into the locker room and discussed quitting. There are different variations of what he said and what he meant, but I think after that game happened and the embarrassment on the field and then the uncertainty that came with some of Mac's comments, and Mac has said this, that I think the school began considering its future with football, you know, what it was going to do moving forward. There's only a year difference, less than a year difference in age between Mack Brown and Bill Belichick, but it feels bigger than that.
I'm glad you brought up the home games, as I was going to ask, what is the student body attendance like, the overall attendance at games prior to the announcement of Bill Belichick?
Yeah, I mean, some apathy had, I think, set in this year. You know, before that, they had Drake May, they had Sam Howell, they had two NFL quarterbacks that, you know, both of the seasons that Drake May was the starting quarterback, they got off to really hot starts, rose up the rankings and sort of collapsed at the end of the season. This year, that James Madison loss was in September, and you could just tell that attendance at games after that went down. I was at several of those games, lots of empty seats. I was at the NC State game to end the season, and there was an awful lot of red in the stands. And so I think there was a sense that Mac 2.0 had run its course and there was time to do something different.
Let's assume that Bill Belichick is right now doing a lot of crash course in college football, NIL, transfer portal. What does he need to know about what is essentially the Tobacco Road corner, the rivalries, and what it's like to be a member of UNC?
The first thing, and I'm sure someone is telling him, is that he needs to beat NC State. NC State has beaten North Carolina the last 4 years. Most of those games have been very close, including this year, but NC State continues to get the best of UNC in football. You know, obviously the Duke game matters a lot. The NC State game matters a lot. It will be interesting to me to see what level of support there is for this program. Even when they've been very, very good, it's not the same type of rabid fan base, I would say, that even a school like NC State has. I mean, NC State is much more of a football school, I think, than UNC at this point. How does Belichick deal with that, first of all? And secondly, you know, how does UNC afford Belichick plus the spending on NIL that's going to come if they can't get that fan base engaged? I think part of this move is about igniting that fan base.
Can you imagine basketball game deep into conference play and Bill Belichick walks into the arena? What type of reception do you think he would get from the fans, whether students or just really rabid supporters?
Whatever doubts there were about whether North Carolina could land Bill Belichick or doubts about whether Bill Belichick is the right fit right now, I think the overall reaction from the beginning is going to be overwhelmingly positive. I think the fans, at least from some of the reactions I've seen and people I've spoken to, are like, let's go, let's do this thing. And so I think there's going to be an initial bump. I'm interested to see what giving is, what season ticket sales are over the next week or so as he gets introduced and starts making moves. I imagine the initial reaction is going to be overwhelmingly positive.
Oh, how do you feel about covering a Bill Belichick press conference?
Oh, it's certainly going to be interesting, and certainly a departure from Mac Brown, who loves telling stories, can remember every single person's name that he's met for 20 years. It's going to be quite a difference in atmosphere at those press conferences.
Oh my gosh, you're right. Not just the personality, where Mac is so personable and tries to include everyone, but also wants to talk, whereas Bill Belichick has not been known for that until this year with all of his media appearances.
Right. He certainly turned over a new leaf, and sort of how much of that was an act to get back into coaching. He clearly knows football and clearly, you know, has stories to tell. How interested he is in telling those when he's a head coach remains to be seen, but certainly Mac had stories to tell and loved to tell.
Oh my gosh, if nothing else, this is fascinating. A case study in human nature, too, and how these students react to the greatest coach of all time, if they even pay attention to who he was or who he is.
Right. How much cachet does Bill Belichick have with 17 and 8-year-olds or 21 and 22-year-olds in the transfer portal? We're about to find out. He certainly has a lot of cachet with the people making the decisions who are of a different generation. Does he have that same reach with younger kids?
Oh, yeah, this is going to be incredibly fascinating. All right, you want to find Brian Murphy online at Murph's Turf, MURPHSTURPH, a sports investigative reporter for WRAL in Raleigh. And, oh, my gosh, there's a lot more to come about Bill Belichick landing on Chapel Hill. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for your time.
You guys know that game, 6 degrees of separation, Kevin Bacon, right? 6 degrees of separation. How about the fact that Drake May leaves North Carolina, becomes the rookie quarterback as the Patriots move on from Bill Belichick, and now he's going to North Carolina? That's sort of funny. What's your reaction? And those of you who are Patriots fans, I'd love to hear from you about Bill Belichick going to college for the first time as a coach. Some of you with your funny comments about his girlfriend. I mean, let's not take nasty pot shots. We don't actually know anything about their relationship. And also, the idea that no NFL team wants him, I think that's unfair and premature. We don't know that yet. There's still a month left in the regular season, and I can imagine there were teams out there who, if they thought they could get Belichick, might actually have been willing to move on their own head coach and create an opening. So, yeah, we don't even know how many openings there will be at the NFL level. So I don't think I'm willing to go that far that no team in the NFL wanted him. I know the reports are out there. He was surprised he hadn't heard anything yet. This is wacky. I sometimes talk about the sports landscape and how it's nothing new under the sun. It's different franchises, you hope, fresh blood, new athletes who step up. But a lot of it is cyclical. It's the It's the routine now that we've been in for 12 years here at After Hours. This is one story I never thought I would cover. Never even crossed my mind. 855-212-4227 at A-Law Radio on our Facebook page, too. Glad to have you with us. Hoping to dive into some of the QB news from the NFL. And also Scott Boras speaking out for the first time about Juan Soto's historic deal with the Mets. A lot of you still reacting to that, too. Just what a weird week. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Hello, everyone. Surprised to see me here? Well, I am too. Over the past few months and not being with a team, I haven't had the opportunity to express my thoughts at a moment's notice. So now I'm changing that. I tried to join Snapface, but I couldn't find it. I decided this was a good place for me to land so I could talk to you and share what I'm up to because there's a lot going on. So here I am. Hello, Instaface. See you soon.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I wonder if we'll get any more of that type of Belichickian personality or if it's back to business now. Honestly, that might play with some of his college students, although I think more so beyond what he can do to be cool, quote unquote, the idea that he's a winner and that he has 6 Super Bowl rings, and that he coached the greatest quarterback of all time, who, by the way, wasn't a high-profile draft pick. Remember, Tom Brady was not a number one, a number two, a number three. He wasn't first round, second round, third round, fourth round. Tom Brady was not expected to be this incredible quarterback at the NFL level. If Bill Belichick can work with Brady and combined for 20 years, and he's now the greatest quarterback of all time, in the opinion of most, well, why not me? Brady wasn't some great athletic talent coming out of college. This is, to me, how you grab the locker room. How you initially have credibility and equity and stand in front of them and know that at least for the beginning, you've got their attention. You don't need to do anything but walk into the damn room as Bill Belichick and you've got their attention. How do you keep it? Interested in your reaction. Also, thank you for your messages. I was feeling a little under the weather about 24 hours ago. My throat's still kind of, sorry. So I did stay home and stay a little quiet on Tuesday night. I'm sorry I missed the hump show and Ask Amy Anything. But coming up next week, we might as well start promoting it now. We'll have another live broadcast on Twitch TV, our second only. Look at us turning over a new leaf, like Bill Belichick turning over a new leaf with Instaface, whether or not he actually calls it by the right.
Is it just me or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and rewatch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Name.
See you soon.
But good for him and good for us. So our second ever live broadcast on Twitch TV will be a live edition of Ask Amy Anything here on the show on Twitch TV, and then we'll package it and put it up on the YouTube channel. I know we got a lot of traffic. In fact, if you're wondering what we look like on Twitch or what we look like while we're doing the show, that video is now preserved on our YouTube channel, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Coming up, Joe Burrow talking about the home invasion that took place at his house while he was playing football. This is becoming an all too common theme in the NFL and in other sports as well. It's not just in the NFL. And what we know about the investigation into the teams, the perpetrators who are committing these crimes. And as you can imagine, these athletes, this is an incredible violation of their privacy, but also unnerving. You are one of the richest athletes and one of the most successful athletes in the NFL. Your MVP-like numbers this year. You're out there doing your job, and back at home, someone's smashing a window and breaking into your house and ransacking it. I can't even imagine. That's a warning. And the NFL and the FBI have issued warnings, and they have put memos out and tried to tell their athletes to take precautions, but it happened again. Remember, it was Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes in October, I believe. Paul is listening in Massachusetts. Paul, welcome to After Hours. What do you think?
Hi, Amy.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yes. Can you hear me okay? I'm having some difficulty with my phone.
No, you're good here on this end.
Okay, great. But before I get to the exact reason I called, I want to just say that I'm really surprised that Bill Belichick didn't end up with the Chicago Bears. He's such a football historian. It seemed like a perfect fit, like a hand in a glove. Mm. They're such a storied franchise. with such a rich history, and they've floundered in mediocrity for the last, 20-plus years, and it just seemed like, and you know, it is a business, and it's all about putting butts in the seats, and Bill Belichick is going to put butts in the seats. Whether he succeeds or not, people are going to say, I'm going to go see what Bill Belichick can do. So I just am really surprised he didn't end up in Chicago. But that said, the reason for my call is I'm really worn out with every conversation about Bill Belichick, starting with he's 72 years old. Mm. It starts out every conversation about Bill Belichick, like what's your point? It's like he's they paint this picture like he's sitting on the sidelines in a wheelchair with a blanket around him, and his nurse is feeding him hot maple. He's sharp as a tack. He's of good health. Now, if you said Bill Belichick is 72 years old and he's had a stroke, or Bill Belichick is 72 years old and he's had two heart attacks, I might understand your point, but every time I hear that, every conversation about Bill Belichick starts out with, well, he's 72 years old. I say to myself, and what's your point? So thank you very much.
I appreciate that. And you're right, Paul. There are no signs at all that his mental acuity has slipped. There are no signs at all that he can't communicate about football. We're seeing him keep a pretty extensive and frenetic media schedule almost daily, and there's no indication that he can't keep up with it. So I would agree with you. I think because Mac Brown was 73, but because he's not that much younger than Mac, and they're not taking a step back or hiring a younger coach, more and more a lot of the hires in the NFL are these hot young coordinators who've never had a head coaching job. Doesn't always work out, but that seems to be the trend. And so, yeah, a lot of coaching, especially with the NIL and transfer portal. How often have we seen some of these older coaches, Hall of Fame experienced coaches, end up leaving the sport because they don't want to deal with all the changes and because it's too much, the agents and the money and the general managers now? But that's Bill Belichick's wheelhouse. It may not be the age, but he was also serving as the GM. He was also putting the rosters together in New England. And at the beginning, it worked well, right? He's the kind of guy that goes out and finds versatile athletes who can play multiple positions, who can serve in multiple capacities. Some guys... Was it Troy Brown, who was a receiver but also lined up as a DB? I mean, you had him using every nuance of the NFL rulebook that he could find. Offensive linemen reporting as eligible so they could catch passes. The way that he would use his personnel, it was a matter of finding people that would fit the system and fit what he wanted to do. And how many times did he morph his offensive system? Going back to the days of Aaron Hernandez and, I forgot who the tight end was on the other side. Remember, there were two tight ends, and he used a two tight end system, and he really did focus on having the two tight end system with two guys out there. Somebody can remind me from New England who was the other tight end. And then when Aaron Hernandez got arrested and ended up in prison, of course, that kind of changed things. And Gronk, right? Duh. Yes, thank you, Pete. I'm going to forget Gronk.
I was just trying to make my sure gosh, I was in my mind.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard sometimes to remember because of when might have crossed paths, but that's, you're right.
It was
totally
like
Gronk.
Right at the same time.
Yeah, so Rob Gronkowski, Aaron Hernandez, so he had that system. He had a run game that would wasn't always functional at times, so he would use the short passing game to make sure that Tom Brady got rid of the ball quickly so that he wasn't getting hit. There were a variety of different ways that he would use defensive players. So he'd bring defensive guys in who could line up in whether it be in a three-point stance, whether it be upright, who would be somewhere in the front seven but would move around, whether it be a 3-4, a 4-3. So this is a guy who looks for a lot of different ways to use personnel, and he can be creative and innovative, and he pushes the envelope. And now that you've got, and I love the point that he made on SiriusXM, now that you've got the college game that simulates more and more what it's like to be in the pros, with the money, with the agents, with the fact that guys can move around almost at will because of the transfer portal, this is much more like what you would see at the NFL level. Now, there's recruiting, to be sure, but how often has Belichick sat down with agents? Again, because this is what he did as the general manager. He was the one, a lot of times, who was dealing with agents for players and what they wanted and whether or not they were worth it to bring on board. And let's not forget, he was ruthless at the NFL level. And I don't mean heartless. I just mean he would make whatever move he had to make, including trading Tom Brady's best friend right before the season started. Do you remember that? It was Lawyer Malloy, the captain of the defense, that he traded right before a season kicked off. And Brady was ticked. He talked about it after the fact. So I think Bill Belichick will do what has to be done. I wonder about the relationships, right? Can he establish relationships with young people? Because many times in college, you're more than just a manager. But as he points out, it's looking less and less like the traditional college model that I played with, that many other people played under, where you're a father figure and you're a mentor. I mean, guys like Jim Harbaugh are still that, I think. But if Jim Harbaugh can go from NFL to college, well, from college to NFL to college and back to the NFL, I think Belichick can do it as well. UNC doesn't need to have the best players on the planet to be able to compete in the ACC. I mean, UNC is bowl eligible. The Tar Heels will play UConn in the Fenway Bowl, which actually is kind of neat. And there, another one of those 6 degrees of separation. His new team will actually end up at Fenway to play in a bowl game. The Bill Belichick that we've seen over the last year-ish, not even the full year, is personable. He's funny. He's goofy. He's self-deprecating. But, of course, he still knows more football than many of us have forgotten. I think this is a slam dunk, home run, 99-yard kickoff return for a touchdown, to use the sports analogies. This is a sudden death overtime victory in the Stanley Cup Finals for UNC. Even if it doesn't produce a national champ, if you can get to the ACC championship game, we've just seen SMU over Alabama. SMU, because of its resume and getting to the championship and barely losing to Clemson, that SMU is now part of the college football playoff. If the Mustangs can do that, Belichick can do it with North Carolina. But what's your opinion? Lots of you weighing in on social at A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Now, coming up, we'll have our own version of Knockout, which, why do I feel like Pete's going to put me on the spot about Bill Belichick and his return to coaching, but in a completely different capacity. And we've got a lot to talk about in the NFL ranks, but straight ahead, Scott Boras weighs in on the Mets signing Juan Soto and that massive deal. Also, he's got Corbin Burns and Alex Bregman and Pete Alonso. What do you think Pete is feeling about his prospects of returning to the Mets, considering what they just shelled out for Soto? Pete's a lifetime Met. Pete's got the playoff pumpkin. Pete's the heartbeat of the Mets. I mean, that personality, it drives the Mets. Francisco Lindor may be their MVP, but Pete is the heart. People love him at Citi Field. Maybe his numbers aren't quite as good as Soto's, and obviously he's a little older. But if Soto gets that kind of money, now what is Scott Boras asking for Pete Alonso? It's almost like cannibalism, is it not? Little incestuous that Scott Boras reps all these people and they're going for this for the money in the same pot. Like, to me, that's But if it works for the players, at A-Law Radio on our Facebook page, Belichick headed to UNC for his first college coaching job. What's your reaction? And more. And I'm back. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Dexter Henry.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
All right, Amy. This one is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your home and auto. Save when you bundle. Get a quote at progressive.com. Baseball news for the people. According to John Heyman of the New York Post, the Yankees and Cubs have had discussions about a trade that would send former NL MVP Cody Bellinger to the Boogie Down Bronx. Heyman reports that there was a bit of progress in talks on Wednesday, but no deal is imminent. The main holdup appears to be regarding money. Now, Chicago, they want the Yankees to assume most of Bellinger's remaining deal, while New York, they've been asking for the Cubs to include cash in any deal. Now, the Yankees do continue to make moves at the winter meetings in Dallas. The Bronx Bombers are bringing back a familiar face, reportedly signing righty reliever Jonathan Loaisiga to a one-year deal. The contract will have a team option for 2026. The Boston Red Sox, they acquired left-hander Garrett Crochet from the Chicago White Sox on Wednesday. Catcher Kyle Teal, outfielder Brandon Montgomery, infielder Chase Muedroth, and right-hander Wikelman Gonzalez, they are headed to Chi-Town in exchange for Crochet. The Mets, they officially announced the signing of Juan Soto on Wednesday evening and will introduce the outfielder to the media at a press conference on Thursday at Citi Field. We move over to college football news. Eight-time Super Bowl winning coach Bill Belichick, he's returning to the sidelines, but not in the NFL. Belichick, now the coach at the University of North Carolina. This is the first time that Belichick will coach the college game, as he is signing a three-year, $30 million deal with the Tar Heels. The head coach will look to bring an ACC championship to Chapel Hill for the first time since 1980. Former West Virginia coach Rich Rodriguez, he's finalizing a deal to return to Morgantown. The 61-year-old head coach spent seven seasons at WVU, which included three straight 10-win campaigns and a Sugar Bowl win over Georgia in 2006. In the NBA Cup, the Hawks, they fly past the Knicks 108-100, 22 points and 11 dimes for Trae Young. The Rockets, they rally past the Warriors 91-90 in H-Town. Alperen Şengün led Houston with 26 points and 11 boards. I'm Dexter Henry.
He's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Bill Belichick is actually headed to UNC for his first ever college coaching gig. If you missed it, we got the reaction from Chapel Hill and Raleigh, where Brian Murphy is on the scene after the breaking news. How did this happen? Kind of interesting, actually. According to Murphy, while Belichick was on the UNC long list, meaning a wish list, if you will, put together every name that you would ever dream of coaching your program, and then you see how many of those are realistic and whether or not you can even lure some of them in for interviews. And how about the money it would take to pay? We don't know, at least I've not seen it, what the terms of this deal are, only that it's 5 years. No idea what the money is, but Belichick doesn't need the money, A. B, if it's true what he said in his statement, and I don't know why he would lie, that he's always wanted to coach in college. And he said on Monday to Pat McAfee that college is like the pro game more than ever, which is accurate. And he spent time studying NIL and transfer portal. There's a lot of different reports out there about him preparing for this job in a 5-hour meeting on Sunday with UNC brass, where he was talking, they were talking about how they can move forward. So here's one thing we know about Belichick. He is all about preparation. The man is a maniac when it comes to preparation. He looks for every way to exploit his opponents and to exploit his advantage as a mad scientist. That's not going to change just because he's going to college. So I'm interested in more of your reaction after the top of the hour, 855-212-4227. I really quickly want to give you Scott Boras' reaction to our other breaking news from earlier in the week. This was Sunday night into Monday. He's the one who engineered the Soto deal for $765 million. And remember, there's the opt-out, but if Soto stays, then he gets even more money. This deal could ultimately be worth more than $800 million if he spends the whole 15 years with the Mets. But it's guaranteed money. And so it's an astronomical deal. Richest ever in sports history. Boras doesn't think the Mets are done?
I think it's pretty evident that the Mets have decided that they're going to pursue winning and winning for a long time. They've made it very clear to us that they're not limited to signing one great player, but multiple great players. So, you know, that they're going to be, I think, a very steady and heavy commitment to acquiring the best talent.
Scott Boras at the winter meetings in Dallas. Now, he does have a couple of other clients, including one with, well, he's with the Mets, sort of, but he's a free agent. That's Pete Alonso.
Pete Alonso's open. He's open to listening to a lot of teams and obviously has been doing so. And certainly his experiences with the Mets were extraordinary, both for them and him.
Exactly. So what does Pete Alonso, well, what does his agent ask for? If Juan Soto got this kind of money, and yes, he's younger and he's a generational hitter, but I'm going to say this because I believe it. You can either agree or disagree with me, and producer Pete, I'd welcome your reaction. I don't think he's as good an all-around player as Aaron Judge. He doesn't play the field as well as Aaron does, so I think Aaron Judge is a better player, and honestly, Judge, because of his stature, because of his personality, because of how he handles himself publicly, he is the prototype. People flock to him. He is beloved in New York. As much as he gets criticized at times, that's just standard being in pro sports. He handles it so well. He handles the pressure so well. I don't know that you can have a player who's more appropriate and perfect for New York than an Aaron Judge, the way that he takes care of his business. And I think he's a better all-around player than Juan Soto. Now, he's older, but here's this contract for Soto that pays him double what Aaron Judge is getting over more years, of course. So if Pete Alonso, who is not, I'm not saying he's a terrible fielder, but, you know, he's not going to go in as a Hall of Fame fielder or anything, but he's meant a lot to the Mets over the last, how long has he been there? Seven?
That sounds right.
7 years?
Yeah.
He's brought them a lot of attention. He puts a lot of butts in the seats. He's got a great personality. So what is Pete Alonso going to command, or should he command?
Depends upon his market. I think that's a big question, because you have a couple of other first basemen that are out there that are maybe a little more affordable that some teams will probably go after first before Alonso. Then you have teams like the Mariners who might strike out on a lot of these guys. You have a team like Boston who might trade Casas for a pitcher. So that might open up a spot there. And then there might be people lurking in there. I feel like Alonso's going to be a player that signs later. And if he goes back to the Mets, it's later and it's under the Mets' terms.
We know he's meeting with teams around the winter meetings. That's happening. Here's my problem with Scott Boras a lot, is that he wants his guys to take the fattest deal, the most money, whereas some of these guys may just want to stay home. Meaning, I don't think Pete wants to go anywhere else but the Mets. I think Pete wants to play for the Mets. Again, he's perfectly suited to New York. He's got a personality. He loves the city. They love him at Citi Field. If another team offers more money, does Scott Boras, I guess you can't force your client, but this is kind of the strong hand that Boras is known to wield. He wants you to go where the most money is available. But what if Pete wants to stay in New York? So I wonder sometimes about that conflict, that push and pull, if you will.
If I was Alonso, I would have taken the qualifying offer, to be honest with you, and I would have played a year and go back out. Because I think he has a little more to prove in the regular season. He had a good postseason, but he's a little more to prove in the regular season. He didn't have a great regular season.
No, and if we're just talking homers, it was a career low. He's at 30, though he did have some great hits in the postseason and the playoff pumpkin, and they had a run from, 12 games out near basement of the National League East to the NLCS. And the team is interested in re-signing him, so I hope they do find a way to keep him. Because, again, I think the personality is a perfect fit, and he's a great Met. He keeps them loose. He makes them goofy. And now he's got Juan Soto in the lineup with him. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, a silent witness, a twist that changes everything.
I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.